Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Buller on Wednesday, the 11th of June, recording at 9:16 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights on a fairly dramatic day here, at least in some areas. Stock markets, though, more of the same, although some of the Asian markets were steadier, including India, which had been an underperformer since its January peak, finding some steadying near its January and March lows. Japan's Nikkei really does have the best overall performance among developed country stock markets at the moment. At least it still has its rising lows. But we may have problems tomorrow. First, the European stock markets closed quite weak. Down gains of 1.72% and so on were the norm. I beg your pardon, declines of 1.7 to 2% were the norm for the indices. And Wall Street closed right on the lows, with the Dow down 206, nearly 23 on the NASDAQ, and those are percentage declines of 1.6 and 1.69%, and the NASDAQ was even weaker. Transports also broke out of their recent trading range, right near the all-time highs. So that's pretty weak performance generally. And in long-dated government bonds, the weakness of Wall Street steadied prices following another early sell-off, and the bond prices in Europe were slightly easier, however. But the big news, really, was first the dollar weakened. Bigger news still was that oil prices jumped right up again. Currently up 5.39 at 136.70, so close to that former high, and more than offsetting yesterday's decline. And we had a firmer tone in precious metals. Gold currently at 881.55. We had good gains in silver, platinum, and a somewhat smaller gain in palladium. The industrial metals were quietly mixed, copper up a wee bit. But the big story, the really big drama, was that I believe the entire grain and bean complex ended the day limit up. And that is due entirely to the appalling weather that they've been getting in the Midwest growing regions of the U.S. More on that in a moment. Okay, now first, what's going on here as far as the stock markets are concerned? Well, we had Bernanke's tough talk, I think mostly bluff. As I said in last night's audio, he talked about wanting a strong dollar and the possibility that rates might go up to head off inflation, or hinting that that might be the case, because he could. Because Wall Street had that quite reasonable rally, a technical rally from the March lows, mid-March lows through mid-May, when Bernanke started to change his tune. And that's knocked the stuffing out of the markets. Once again, it's similar to what we saw really October of last year. Remember, we had the big scary sell-off in August last year, and then markets climbed back up. S&P, I think, actually went to a new recovery high. Then Bernanke said the inflation growth risks were evenly balanced. Markets panicked. So he's not got much breathing space, because Wall Street is heading down on pretty much a daily basis, with the Dow being closest to the major indices to its January and March lows. Now, I don't think that the Fed will be relaxed about any move below those levels, let alone the Treasury or the White House. What they can do about it at this stage is another matter, partly because the problem, well, they could do something about the banks, presumably, but that's been scary. You know, I regard the banks as a lead indicator. I've always said that. And once they took out their January, March lows, that's not looked good, and they've fallen quite substantially from those levels and are still falling. I think they look overextended on the downside. That's good news for some point out there, some tomorrow, whether it's tomorrow or in the next few weeks. That will lead to a rebound. But these headwinds in terms of the oil price, which is one that I've always cited as a risk, plus this dramatic inflation problem related to the agricultural commodities, with the focal point of concern being in the U.S. Great Plains. Now, that is accompanied by, or caused by, I should say, some of the worst weather on record in terms of too much rain and there were cool temperatures. That's not a big problem for anybody, but the rain certainly is, because you're getting some serious flooding in the region. So this kind of looks like a perfect storm here, with oil up, with that very bad weather, with the grains and beans going through the roof, and the banks all hitting new lows. So it looks as if we're going to see more of these indices moving down and testing their January and March lows. Now, some indices, of course, are considerably stronger. Japan, which I've cited among the industrial nations, but Japan can't go it alone in here, and it's certainly going to be tested tomorrow. My feeling is that Japan will certainly be one of the better performing markets when the Wall Street leash effect turns from what is now decidedly negative back to positive at some point. There are so many reasons that we could cite that. First, I would point to its relative performance relative to, say, to other developed industrialized markets. I would also say that while inflation is such a great concern, Japan, or worldwide, Japan probably has the lowest inflation rate, undoubtedly has the lowest inflation rate in the world. And while oil is such a concern, that affects Japan as well, obviously, but Japan is probably the most efficient energy user of all the countries. So I think that makes Japan very attractive on a medium to longer term level, and if it gets dragged down here by the Wall Street leash effect and other concerns in the short term, and that would create a buying opportunity for investors interested in that market. Now, China and India I expect to remain on the defensive here in the short term. I think they are at attractive levels. I think they're in accumulation zones, but there's no hurry to go in here, not against this immediate background, so they may become somewhat better value. It's disappointing for those of us who had the opportunity to sell, well, with India at any rate, not that long ago, back in January, when it was still very much on a roll, and China peaked somewhat earlier. But on a long-term basis, those growth rates, I think the long-term potential is absolutely outstanding. And I'm not happy about the profit erosion, but I'm certainly not going to be shaken out down here, because I like the long-term outlook. And I may well buy some more but not necessarily immediately. I think this tricky, difficult period is going to persist for a little while longer, and it'll drag down other things as well. So where are the safe havens? Well, I'd be a little careful about bonds. I favor them as shorts, but only after rallies. And the long-dated government bond prices have fallen quite sharply recently. They may attract some safe haven money, some safe haven, but that's what often happens if stock markets are, or if anxiety is rising as far as stock markets are concerned. And I think nerves will be tested, as I said, with some of these indices coming down and certainly retesting those January and March lows. Now, the safe havens, I think that I have we're never going to have big positions in this, but I do have speculative positions in corn, and I have added oats in here today. Owen also has wheat and soybeans. The precious metals, I have gold, and I bought some silver back today, taking advantage of the decline that it has seen recently. I think that talk of higher US interest rates is just talk. And I think talk of a big rally in the US dollar is similarly just talk. Central banks, including the US, including the Fed, would like the dollar to remain steady for the time being. I don't see that as a headwind for precious metals in here right now. There is, of course, some general concern. I've commented on this again today about the CFTC, that's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, possibly doing something to change the rules, which have basically allowed hedge funds and other, I beg your pardon, not hedge funds, it's mainly, I think, pension fund type money, long-term money, to come in to these tracker funds in commodities under the same rules that they are somehow like forget the word that applies to it at the moment, it's just eluded me for a moment, but that they are trade participants in here and using these markets. Now, that's clearly not the case, but to whatever extent people become nervous in terms of what might happen with the CFTC, I posted a piece by John Molden on this, which is really quite good. To whatever extent investors become nervous, they say about the situation, if they want commodities, and it's hardly surprising that they do, we live in a fiat currency world, if they want to hedge a good hedge against inflation, and if they want some supply inelasticity, then these precious metals and beckon as seldom before. Commercials was the term I was looking at. Commercials would imply trade, quite possibly hedgers, and the pension funds investing in commodities are able to do so under the same rules as if they were somehow commercials, were they not? And that's what might change. It's hard to argue that if you have billions and billions and billions flowing into the oil markets and into the agricultural commodity markets, it's hard to argue that that doesn't cushion downside risk in those contracts and also push them higher. And so that ups energy costs, which slows growth in the oil importing countries. Even more emotively, or perhaps it ups food prices, and that is certainly a major headline problem. Yes, of course, the big underlying fundamental drivers are increasing demand relative to supply, where supply and elasticity meets rising demand has been the floor money theme for at least 7 years. But the problem is being exacerbated by the participation of these funds. Okay, so what are the safe havens? Just to repeat at a moment, not stock markets. Generally, I think they're going to suffer a little bit more selling pressure before we get the next good rebound. I'm not sure what the catalyst for that next rebound will be, but it will. There certainly will be one, even if it's just sufficiently oversold conditions to produce a good bounce. I suspect that Bernanke will reverse his fairly hard line recently and become much more. Will indicate much greater concern about the state of the banking system and where the stock market is, as we've seen previously. And that might also be a factor. So he could say that there's no immediate threat to interest rates going up, that type of thing. That the banking, just up the PR here, to allay nerves somewhat. So I think the outlook is for somewhat weaker markets in the short term, hopefully not too much weaker, but as I say, the headwinds persist, and therefore equities be a bit more risky short term. I don't think bonds offer that much safe haven. I think precious metals are as good as any safe haven, and for the speculators, this grain and bean complex may run a bit further. Indeed, the entire agricultural sector may run a bit further. I also picked up some sugar in here today, some white sugar in the UK. So those are trading opportunities, precious metals being the investment opportunities, and also a trading opportunity. Now, seasonally, this is not a great time for precious metals, but markets do not have to always conform to seasonal patterns. I think there's enough concern about other markets. There's enough concern about inflation, possible CFTC action on the tracker funds involved in energy and agricultural commodities to make the precious sector extremely attractive. And if it doesn't provide absolute performance, and I think it probably will, it should provide relative performance. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.